All right.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You okay?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Well, baby, listen to that buzzing. Woo-hoo!
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, was there buzzing?
Either somebody had bad tacos or your machine.
Yeah, there was something going on there, John. It was a nice little buzz, man.
Is it gone now?
Yeah, it's gone now.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right. And here we go.
There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're funny, scumbag
out
on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that wants proof first. And joining me, as always, is Lee.
Hi.
Lee.
Yeah, I'm here.
Just got back from a wonderful movie that we're not going to talk about. It was the best movie
we're not
going to
talk about
seen.
But if you see me and I'm not running from panel to panel, ask me to sit down and talk about the Dark Tower movie. I thought Idris Elba was great. I thought Matthew McConaughey was great, and I thought the kid playing Jake was great. It's not about the characters, it's about the story. But I
only do that after Watershed, though, as we've learned prior to the recording of this.
You probably do want to do that after Watershed, because there are some words that come out and I don't mean to. But you have to go into things, you know, even when you've heard about things, you know, you got to go in a little hopeful, but unfortunately also a little skeptical. And that's how I went into this, John.
That's how we're going to ham fist this introduction.
That's exactly it. But you know what? Being skeptical is important, because you've got to be willing to ask the tough questions. Right, Derek, the director of the Skeptics Track?
We try to. And
yeah. See, we're terrible about these introductions, but we get there in the end. Yay.
But was the movie good?
Honestly, you know, I would have to say this about the movie. Had you not called it The Dark Tower, I would have been perfectly fine. It's kind of like, yeah, if you had not said, this is the continuing saga of The Dark Tower, it probably would have been fine.
I felt that way about, now that we're completely sidetracked anyway, I felt that same way about Total Recall, the one with Colin Farrell. I thought it was a great science fiction movie. It just was not Total Recall.
Well, then the thing is about that movie, it's like, I went back and watched the original before I saw the remake. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there was no reason to remake it. I mean, it still holds up even now. So it's like, this is weird.
Yeah, the only thing that was wrong with the at this day and age that's wrong with the original is basically the effects. But I mean, that's just a matter of the time that it was made. The story was great.
Yeah.
The acting was meh, but I mean, it wasn't really. I mean, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what you get when you go in.
Yeah. So. I don't know. At least I'm happy that they're not redoing Blade Runner. They're actually doing a sequel to it, and that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
So at first every thought it was going to be a remake. I was like, don't do that.
Yeah, that would be a terrible idea. Hey, but trying to drive us back into the topic tonight, which is movie talk. So anyway, more movies. No,
don't go into more movies, but.
So the Skeptic Track, first of all, for those that don't know, what is a Skeptic Track? What do you guys in general cover?
Well, okay. So the Skeptic, quote unquote, movement kind of came out of the world of scientific skepticism. It was the modern day founders would have really been Carl Sagan and James Randi. A couple other people that most people listening to this probably wouldn't even know who they are. But it's like the cheerleaders for science, but not the scientists. Mm-hmm. So like the science track is like hardcore science. Mm-hmm. Skeptic track is all science, but it's the science that people don't really understand. So they always have bad ideas about it, and they think they understand it. So like we talk about things like, you know, is the drugs, people talk about drugs in the tap water. What is that? You know, how much does it really matter? No. Homeopathy, people hear it. And it's like, is that some alternative medicine thing? Well, not really. It's something that can never actually possibly work if you actually understand math and understand what it is. People don't know that. Psychics, no, they don't exist. And they've done it so many studies, and you can always figure out the trick the person using. It's mentalism, and people have known this for thousands of years, and there's been books written on it. And people don't like to know that, but we've had people on my track who are really good mentalists, and they had people come up to them and they still thought they were lying and actually had psychic powers because they couldn't do what they said. No, you have to actually be doing this psychically. You can't actually be faking it. It's like we were, and they don't believe that. Even though they show them the tricks, I'm like, no, can't do that. So it was born out of a consumer protection kind of bent on science. James Randi was one of the most common guests on the Johnny Carson show. It was one of his best friends, and he always showed people how these weird pseudoscience skeptic, psychic people actually did their tricks. And he showed them live on TV. This is how he did it. He busted Uri Geller and Peter Popoff and all of this stuff on TV. And the worst part is all of the people he's debunked and actually showed people do it, how they do their tricks on TV live. Those people still have a career.
Well, I think there is something in all of us. And I just saw a movie about this. And I've been thinking about this for some other things too. And I think there's something in all of us that wants to believe in something out there that's a little mystical, out there that's a little different. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's fun.
It's fun. And I think there is something just, there is something other than getting up, going to work, coming home. I don't know. I see your point on it, too. But I think we have to be careful in how we ask these things.
Right. So, if I may. My understanding, at least of the most professional skeptics, if you will, it's not that they completely necessarily dismiss the value in, you know, believing in something that's beyond yourself. It's the people that take advantage of those people that is where the problem lies, right?
So, yeah, like I said, that goes back to what I was saying originally. It's kind of like the consumer awareness protection bent.
Because a true skeptic if shown proof of psychic powers, legitimate proof, would change their mind, right?
That's the reason why, like, you know, the JREF, James Randi Educational Foundation, has the $1 million challenge, which is actually supplied by Johnny Carson, and you know, they still have the money, of course. And the reason why is because any of the major skeptics, including myself, we all say, look, it's not that we don't want it to be true. We'd love it to be true. We just don't like the fact that everybody believes the stuff that's actually completely false, and we can show you it's false. And if you show me something that's real, we believe. I mean, you know how amazing it would be if you could actually talk to your dead grandmother. Think about it. Not just because you could do that and that's really nice for you. Think about the ramifications for things like communications and technology and all the things that would open up. I mean, that would be one of the biggest things ever. And whoever can actually prove it would be the biggest multimillionaire in the world. And it would benefit everybody on the planet. So if you actually can do that, then you are a freaking slime ball if you're not actually proving it to the rest of us so we can actually take it for humanity. It's not just like a joke or just, you know, a gotcha. I'm serious when I say that. Because if you actually do that, you're doing something that no physicist could ever figure out. So if you actually have that power, then you're a slime ball if you actually really can do it, because we have no way of actually showing that. Nobody's actually proven it. So if you can actually do that, you would benefit society as a whole. But none of these guys will actually do that in close, you know, testing. And when they do, they always fail. So, you know, it's not that we don't want it to be true. We'd love it to be true. But every single time it's been tested, it's false.
So these are the kind of, these are the topics that you basically cover inside of the skeptic track.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So now I suppose you go more specific in each of the panels rather. Correct. So what are some of the panels that you're going to be covering this year?
Oh, let me pull up my schedule.
Sure.
Ben Radford is back. He was gone for a few years because he was writing his book about evil clowns. and that's been done.
Well, isn't that redundant?
Okay. Yeah, no clowns. Well,
evil
I am
and clowns. It just seems.
Well, okay. Lee, of the two of you, Lee might have heard about. Did you hear about all the things with the weird, creepy clowns and?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow my RSS feed wants to give me stuff on clowns, even though I hate them. So yeah.
Yeah. So Ben Radford did a whole investigation on, is that thing real, and the real part of it, because there were people doing that, but like what it was about and all that. He wrote this whole book. It's called Bad Clowns. And so you might be interested in that because it has like a little X track bent to it.
Yeah, no, it does. And I don't like, but no clowns, no clowns.
So he's going to talk about not the clown thing. He's going to talk about how you apply. This is what you were asking before, how you apply actual science to the paranormal stuff. And that's what he does for a living. He's one of the very few, like two or three people in the world who actually does scientific paranormal investigations, which means there is zero actual tech that will help you doing paranormal stuff, because we don't have a ghost yet, so we don't know what the hell to actually test for. So like all those gadgets are complete bullshit. He explains why real paranormal investigators don't ever use that kind of stuff. You actually have to like do it the real way. And he actually has done workshops on this before. He has a book that's scientific paranormal investigations, because, you know, like recording things, it doesn't matter. If you have an EMF reader, it does what it does. And it's always going to find cold and hot spots because your house is full of electricity. it's all complete bullshit. And we know what those things are. The thing measures what it measures. We don't have a ghost detector because we haven't found a ghost yet. So we have nothing to detect. So you have to investigate these things a different way. We got people from my company, because I work for a water wastewater company. We're going to have a few panels, or not talks and presentations on the reality of like how you get your water and things like what happens, you know, if certain things happen to the water system, or what would happen if, you know, you had like one day without anybody having access to clean drinking water here in America, because we don't understand that. Places like India that are kind of, you know, really modern, they have these problems. We don't. So here's like what these things would happen here, because we don't understand that. We have some stuff on artificial intelligence, like what the reality of, you know, how long it might be for to do anything that think it's going to do, which is actually not as bad as you would think. One of my long-term guests, finally, it was kind of sad. My friend Nick Iftimatis, who was actually a shit you not spy, like James Bond's spy, that's what he did for a living. He finally retired, but now he works for the a working group for the Department of Defense. And what they actually do is they screen news that comes out of other countries to see if it's actually being fake, so that it doesn't affect the politics here. Of course, you know this, why this came around.
Why? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Let's not get down that particular road.
Yeah, but I mean, that's so, you know. That's
but the there's thing. A place to talk about it.
Yeah, but it's a very skeptical thing, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that's what he does now. He used to be a spy. And he was, he has his claim of fame. He was on C-SPAN all the time in the late 90s, the second time that Clinton got elected. My buddy Nick, that's been on my track, he was a spy that actually found out that the Chinese were funneling money to the Clinton campaign, if you remember that whole story.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was him. He found that because he was a spy in China. He is the only person ever to write a book on how the Chinese government intelligence agency works because he got inside. And he is a wanted man in China. He probably can never go back. Yeah. So we talk about kind of thing. And we also, and like I said, it's the whole thing about, you know, the cheerleading of science and making people understand the reality of things. We have one of the world's experts on, because it's become a kind of a thing lately, the transgender issues, and Dana Bevan, who actually lives here in Atlanta. She is one of the preeminent scientists that does this kind of work. And the fun part about Dana is before she transitioned, she worked for Jamie Hyman at his location in San Francisco in his lab that they always had in the Mythbusters.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so she can talk about that stuff too. It's kind of cool. So she worked for the military and a bunch of other things. She used to help design military jets and things. But she is also a PhD psychologist and talks about the reality of the science behind gender and things like that, because people don't understand how it works. People are like, why is this part of the skeptic track? Because do you understand how this is? Do you know there's science behind this? It's not just because people just feel this way. There's a reason for it. So things like that. We cover a whole wide range of stuff.
Now, you also have a couple of big events going on there outside of your room. Can you go into some of those?
We've been doing a magic show for the past about 4 or 5 years. And it keeps getting bigger. And this year we actually have it in one of the brand new big ballrooms at Hilton. And so that's usually on the Friday night or what is it this year? Oh my gosh. I have the schedule here. I should probably use it. It is on Sunday. It's on Sunday. Really? Yeah, it's on Sunday. That's the first time it's ever been on a Sunday. Sunday at 7 on the brand new Hilton Grand Hall East.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and I've been in that room. It's really nice. It's one of those brand new rooms that it's just opening up. Like, it wasn't done yet, but I went to see it. And then after the magic show in my track room, we have Shelley Siegel, who's a singer-songwriter who actually collaborated with the same songwriter that did all of the work for Norah Jones and Tracy Chapman. So the quality of her music is really good. So she does a lot of secular and skeptical topics on her music. So she came last year, and she actually does live music in between my panel events just in the track room. So it's kind of nice. We started that last year and people liked it because, instead of just being people just milling around, then she stands there and sings and talks to the crowd, and she's pretty good at that stuff. So she's really good. We also have our big comedy night again on Sunday night. So it's like 10 o'clock until you're way too tired. Because usually it's like, between 7 and 12 comedians that do test sets, and it's always a great time.
Where will that be?
Say again?
Where will that one, where will the comedy be at?
That'll be my track room right after.
Okay.
Shelley is done set between, her set is between 8:30 and 9:30. And then at 10 o'clock, we have the Geekapalooza, which is our yearly comedy festival. It's all the comedians are, for the most part, all of them are professors at local universities or, you know, universities in this area, like people from Georgia Tech and Emory, or, you know, places from like Virginia and New York. They're all actually science professors that are comedians. So it's all science-based comedy. It's really fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And we also have a big, big party on as well. That's all the way at the Hyatt.
All the way at the Hyatt. It's not that far, guys. Come on. You can get through the Habit Trails. It'll be all right.
Every single thing in my track is in Hilton on the second floor, but the party, which is on Saturday night at 8:30 until whenever everybody leaves.
Okay. And
what room is that again in the Hyatt?
It's going to be the Hyatt Regency 5.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Well, now, and Derek, you had said you are actually, you're in the Hilton, which has gone a major renovation.
Yes.
So what, you know, I think we've even told some people where stuff was in the Hilton and now we're going to be wrong. So what has been changed? I mean, what are some of the things that really hit you as like, oh my.
Oh, we're really getting into a controversial area now, Lee. All that other stuff, nothing compared to what we're about to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a lot of change, folks.
Yeah, okay, well, so, okay. For the most part, the track rooms in the Hilton are pretty much where they were. They've kind of freshened them up. They really didn't change the track rooms too much. There's a few of the smaller track rooms on the second floor, which have been removed because they have created all of this brand new, very large, high ceiling, really, really high ceiling ballroom space on the second floor, which used to be the salon rooms, which don't exist anymore. And to do that, they got rid of the pool, which was on the second floor, and a few of the track rooms that were on that side. And they made these giant ballrooms, which the Hilton kind of needed some big space because it was one of the few hotels that didn't really have large ballroom space for events. So they decided to get rid of the pool, which is a controversial thing because people like the pool of the Hilton, but because it was indoor, it was the only one that was indoor. So people liked it there because it was not blazing hot. But they got rid of it to make giant ballroom space, which is good for me, but bad for people who are staying at the Hilton.
Yeah. I am really surprised about that pool. You're saying it was inside, but I also saw there was parts of it outside too.
Sized pools, instead of just one giant one.
Oh, so okay. So there you go.
Half one inside, one half outside.
I gotcha.
But none of that anymore. No pools.
And also controversially, anyway, they also removed the two escalators that were right outside your door.
Yeah, which me and everybody else known as the back door into all the stuff at the Hilton because nobody ever used it.
It was the back door. It was the most wonderful, wonderful door in the whole wide world. I love that door.
It was my that's the only thing I ever. How I got around Dragon Con, I was on the escalator every day, at least, you know, 50 times. So now I have to fight the crowd.
Yeah, so now you're forced to the Habit Trail, because you're actually on the Habit Trail level, right?
Yeah, well, that's the nice part about my track room. I'm kind of lucky. I have every year when I, because my track ends up being standing room only now and then, and they've always threatened to, like, move me to a different spot, and I'm like, just don't. I'd rather have them be crowded than anything else. And one of the reasons why I'm crowded is because I'm the first door to the right when you're coming from the Marriott to the Hilton. When you're through the Sky Bridge, my track is right there to the right. So I can put up signs, and every single person that goes from the Marriott to the Hilton, they see my signs. So I was like, never move me. I like it here.
Now, is your room still configured like really, it's like really long?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's an airplane. But we have because of that, you know, we have the really nice stage set up because of Buck Media, my AV guy, Mark, who owns Buck Media. He's my savior because he invents stuff. He sells invents stuff that other AV companies buy from him to sell things. So like his event, his equipment that you would think like Sony now, it's all his like tag on it because he invents all that stuff and sells it to like, you know, Pioneer or, you know, whatever. So it's kind of cool that he does all that stuff. And like last year he tested out our new microphone. He calls it Magic Mic. And when people walk up to it, it detects like their height. And it just moves to their height when they walk up to the
QA mic. Oh, that's awesome.
It's the best. Oh, that is awesome. I want one.
Yeah, well.
It doesn't go that long.
So when he gets
hush you.
When he perfects it, I'm sure he'll sell it. Because
he
was working on that for like 4 years in a row. In the first like 2 years, we kept trying to make it work. And it wasn't really working right. So he never would want to use it. And then last year was the first year it actually worked really well. And it's funny because people walk up to the mic and they're like, it's way down there because the last person that talked was short. And then they walk up and the thing just raises up.
That is awesome. That's really cool.
It worked really well. So I was like, yay.
they have a mic that goes up and down. Like if you see like at the, Academy Awards, but that's all run by a person. A person's up there adjusting it off stage.
Yeah. That's on a gimbal too. It's like a seesaw.
Oh, okay.
Ah. Yeah.
But this one is actually a stand-up mic. It looks like one of those mics on a pole, you know?
Yeah, just like a regular mic, right?
Yeah, he had put the sign on it that says, do not touch the mic. And then the thing moves. I'm like, holy crap.
So are there any guests that we've missed thus far that you'd like to highlight before we move to the game portion of our show?
You know what? I don't think I have anybody excitingly new. Mm-hmm. I have Lee and Laura again, who was one of the co-hosts for Neil deGrasse Tyson's show,
mm-hmm.
Star Talk. So she's off and on there. She's a big name comedian, science-based comedian in New York City. And I have Kara Santa Maria again this year. She's a big science communicator. She is one of the people that was on the Bill Nye Saves the World show.
Oh, okay.
And I have my musicians again. I don't have any big names this year. But they're all like big names in the skeptic circles, but you know, not big names for the con. I almost did, but we're not gonna talk about that.
Okay. All right. So
I'm still a little sad I didn't get them.
And we'll leave it at that. Find Derek if you can, and then maybe you can convince him to tell you the story.
We got a couple ones that they say they can probably do it next year, but you know, you never know.
You never know. It's Dragon Con. Things change at the last minute all the time.
Please, unless your butt's in a seat, guys, it's not happening yet.
I tell these people, you know, the joke at Dragon Con, and it's very true. The schedule is tentative until you're sitting there watching the event.
That's exactly right.
I argue it's still tentative until the Tuesday after Dragon Con. But anyway, so this is the portion of the game or the show where we do the game. Where we like to torment Lee. And we do this by testing your knowledge against her knowledge.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a choice of three topics. We're going to play three quick rounds here. I'm going to give you a choice of three topics, Derek. And for the first round, you get to choose which of these three topics you'd like to do. So in other words, if I gave you the idea is that I'm going to give you a topic, you name something from that topic, then Lee takes a turn, name something, and you and back and forth as fast as we can. So if I was to say, for example, Batman villains, you would say
Penguin.
And Lee would say
Joker.
And I go back to you, Derek.
You know what? Why am I blanking?
See, that's what happens.
Let's do that one. I like that one. Let's do that one. No. Let's do that one.
Those,
I gotta leave four more.
They're picked randomly, but we go back and forth. So you'll get to choose which topic you want to do. So I've got a spreadsheet here. It is magical and it does things that are magical.
Completely randomized, mm-hmm. right, John?
It is. No, it is. All right. So here's what we have. Derek, choose one of these three topics: fictional diseases, fictional sports, or Mad Max characters?
Let's go with fictional diseases.
All right. So you start, and then we'll go to Lee, and then go back to you until we run out or we hit 10. Derek, go.
What was it? Come on, Derek. I just had one, and that's why I picked it.
I might do okay, John.
Oh, Space Madness. That was it.
Space Madness, sure. Lee.
Dragonpox.
Dragonpox. Okay.
That one's good.
Derek. The thing from Ice Pirates. Okay, good. Lee.
That would be called Space Herpes. I want the point for that one.
That was it. Thank you.
I give you both a point for that. Okay, Derek.
Okay, back good. To you.
Derek, why did I choose this? I'm so bad at it.
All right, I got a call time. Lee, you got another one?
I do have another one. The freezing that was happened when you looked at a basilisk in a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Just freezing from a basilisk.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it to you, and I'll give you the extra point for winning the round. Okay, so now we go to Lee.
And the extra Lee 2 point.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just keeping up with this. Just saying.
Lee, I'm the person that you're going to make you feel good about this game now.
Yeah, maybe. I'm feeling better.
Sci-fi authors, fictional bars or pubs, or cooperative board games.
You keep trying to make me get cooperative board games, and I'm going to keep telling you no.
I don't know what to tell you. It comes up.
Yeah. My husband's over here going, I'll play cooperative board games. No, I'm trying to decide what were the first. I know the second one was fictional pubs. What's the first one?
Sci-fi
authors. Let's do sci-fi authors.
Okay, Lee, you start.
Clark.
Derek.
Scott Sigler.
Oh, there you go. Is he a guest this year?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Lee.
Herbert. Dune.
Derek.
Dick.
What? What do you call him? Oh, no. Lee. Lee. Go ahead.
Margaret Atwood.
Derek.
Oh, sci-fi. Mike Stackpole.
Lee.
Stephen King.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah,
that would work.
He has a great film that's out right now. Derek.
My turn again?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Who is it? Why am I blanking? I know I can see his face. You know what? We'll do this one, Shatner.
Oh, God. Yes, okay.
Oh, that one. Oh, that's not good.
Well, I guess. Okay, yeah.
He had two books.
I agree with you. I agree with you. He is a sci-fi author. I was debating whether to go into my tirade about those books because on one hand, they're whatever. Anyway, Lee, go.
That's why I did it.
Well, see, and then I had my name, and then all of a sudden now it's about to be out of my head. But I was going to say, would you say McCafferty or no?
Sure.
Okay. Well, if you didn't, I have another one. So.
Okay. What's your other one then?
All right. Then Candido. I never do it all right, but Candido.
Okay. Derek.
Asimov.
Lee.
Anderson. Kevin.
Derek.
Nimoy. Because he wrote them too.
Yeah. Too.
Lee.
Jonathan Mayberry.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Okay. Derek, speaking of fictional diseases, Derek,
Hutchins, JC,
Lee,
Charlie Jane Anders,
Derek, I think we might get to 10. Derek,
um, losing it.
No.
Keep thinking of fantasy people.
I know, well, it's hard.
Well, I do fantasy. He let me have Pern, so I'll give you that.
Yeah, but that there was some books that were kind of on that edge.
True.
The guy that did the...
Did we just determine, though, that Pern is actually considered sci-fi?
I think it is.
I think it is, yeah.
Because her dragons are...
mechanical.
Yeah, they do something made. Yeah.
Uh-oh, Jesus. Why am I losing it? I have it in the head. But I can't remember the author's name. Fuck. Oh.
All right, Derek. I got to call time. I'm sorry, Derek.
You see, I'm giving you this one, Lee.
Oh, wow. Lee. Rowling?
I'm not going to give you Rowling. I gave you the two bonus points. Okay. For winning the round. Okay. And then one more round here. All right. Properties. This is for you, Derek, to pick. Properties of Monopoly, Discworld, Discworld characters, rather, or fictional languages.
I'm going to go with properties in Monopoly because I used to live right outside of Atlantic City.
Oh, you're going to. Oh, wow. Okay.
Go, Derek. Wow.
Marvin Gardens.
Lee.
Park Place.
Baltic. Derek.
Baltic. Okay. Lee.
I had Baltic in my head, too. The Reading Railroad.
Yeah.
Okay. Reading.
Reading. Sorry.
Reading Rainbow. Oh, no, wait. Reading Rainbow. Okay. Derek.
Oh, the boardwalk.
Boardwalk. Okay, Lee.
North Carolina Avenue.
Oh, there you go.
Derek. I have no idea why that one, it's green. That's all I know about it.
It is green.
Derek, back to you.
Jail.
All right, fair enough. Lee.
B&O Railroad.
Oh, we'll go to the railroads.
Derek.
What have we done? Oh, what is it? Derek, why do I suck at this?
It's easy once you stop playing.
I know.
Yeah, it's a lot easier then, yeah.
I know. See, and I'm not cheating. That's the reason why.
I'm very proud of you. Neither one of us are. I'm very happy.
That's the reason why I'm sucking so bad, obviously.
I would argue Lee is cheating.
I'm not cheating.
There's no way she can win this game. Anyway, yes, Derek?
Did I say Baltic?
Yeah, you said Baltic.
You did.
I did, shit. I didn't say Marvin Gardens.
Oh, no, you didn't say Marvin Gardens.
There you go. That's what I had in my head.
Lee?
There you go. Venture Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Beverly? Okay. Yeah, Derek?
That's a thing. I'm looking at all those pale blue ones. I'm trying to remember what they all are.
I know. I'm sitting here thinking about those, too.
Because nobody
I know one of them.
Yeah.
No, because no one ever buys them. That's why you don't know.
And that's the reason why I'm thinking about them.
They buy the purple ones because they're really cheap. And then.
Yes. Oh, Derek.
I'm going to have to call time on you, Derek. I'm sorry.
You're probably going
to. No one is sorrier than I am that I have to call time on this.
Okay.
Ask me
for my next one, John. Come on.
Yeah, what's your next one, Lee?
Free parking.
I thought I got that one, but you're right. I didn't do it.
You did jail.
You said jail. You did say jail, yeah, and I was waiting on jail. Free parking.
All right, Derek. Why don't we let everybody know? Why don't you let everybody know where people can find you physically at Dragon Con, what room you're in, and also where they can get more information on your track, and then also the other stuff that you do because you are on the web all over the place.
All over the place. Yeah, tell us.
Well, so if you want to find out more about our Skeptic track, it's at skeptics.dragoncon.org. Our track room is in the Hilton on the second floor. Pretty much, if you're coming from the Marriott, go through the Skybridge from the Marriott to the Hilton. Just look to the right when you first walk into the Hilton, and we're right there. Off the top of my head, I think we're rooms 204 through 208. It's the whole hallway on that one side. It's like a long airplane. We have lots of monitors and really good AV, so it doesn't matter. yeah, we do.
That is awesome.
Let me say, you can find me online by just searching for my name. I have everything from a Wikipedia page to my show, which is Skepticality, which I've done for, oh my gosh, 12 or so years now, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy. Yeah, if that's everything, I think.
Yeah, you guys were on Podcast Alley when Podcast Alley was a thing.
Yeah, we before that, actually.
And yeah, Podcast we started Pickle.
Before Podcast Alley was there. Mm-hmm. I remember when they opened Podcast Alley, and there was like a bunch of bitching about everything for that.
Welcome to the internet, dude. Come on. That's our job.
Unless you were one of those pioneer podcasters, you'll forget about this part, which was at the beginning of podcasting, it was just almost 2 years or more fight on, do you want to keep it, the name podcasting?
Oh, I remember that. I remember that with much hatred. And then, you know, Leo Laporte tried to come in and make it, what is it, webcasts? Or no?
Yeah, webcast.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, it was webcast.
I don't know. I think just podcast wound up sticking around just because it.
Well, yeah, it was obviously first. Yeah. It's like, sorry, people latched onto it already. You can't change the name now. But yeah, so that was a whole thing. And Podcast Alley was like, you know, the forum mainly where we just bitched about everything.
Yes. And then people gamed the system there and then all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Those are the good old days.
Before Facebook, actually.
So now we can game Facebook.
Yeah, well, you can't as much. It's kind of where.
Unless you're Russian.
I'll tell you one thing that Facebook kind of did, which I kind of am sad about. It kind of catalyzed like the community forum societies. They don't exist anymore.
That is true. That is very true. Actually, I'm thinking about
it. So, like, that. Yeah, there's none of that anymore. There's no community forums anymore because everybody just goes on Facebook and that's not the same. And Facebook isn't like threaded, so you can't go back and like read the whole thing. Yeah, to me, it's kind of like, it's one thing I don't like about that.
Yeah, I used to have it in my outro, my little copyright stuff that I put at the end of it, at the end of the podcast. We used to run a listserv, right? Which is, you know, basically it was a group.
Same idea.
I've just this year, I took it out of the outro because we don't use it anymore. Everyone just goes to Facebook. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. And it's not the same.
It isn't. You're right. There's a lot of cool conversations that were going on over there and now nobody has them.
Yeah. It's like, I say that and the same thing with Twitter, which is even worse because Twitter's ephemeral. If you're not just sitting there watching the freaking tut pipe, you don't get anything.
And then depending upon the tool that you're using, it all goes out of whack for you anyway.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. So it's not the same thing. There's the social media kind of destroyed the internet discussion system.
We sound like two old men. Get off of our internet.
I'm not saying a word because this is fascinating.
Why won't those kids get off of our internet?
And you what? Two, yes. I'm waiting on John to bring up what the place he did that he was ready to launch it and then MySpace came out.
Yeah. Let's not go down that route.
Well, you see, before I moved here, I lived in Vegas. That's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And I had a very, very, very big multi-node dial-in BBS before the internet.
Oh, wow.
Me and my dad ran it for a long time when I was a kid in the 80s. Then I moved it when I went to college in 92. And then the internet came. And so I connected to that. And then, of course, BBS has just kind of died after that.
Right. That's true.
But BBS systems were really great for that. Like it's kind of the prototype of, you know, all this stuff. And I remember when the internet first came out, my company got hired to do this thing called Dial Now, which was basically Facebook. I have the source code and everything still. And I'll tell you, it's so similar. It's like, and how it didn't take off. It launched, but people didn't care. But it was pretty much the same exact thing. almost the feature set was completely the same. And it's funny to me how things on the internet, just some take, some don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not always necessarily the best thing, but
yeah,
but those kids just will not get off of our internet.
Oh, well, they won't get off your lawn anymore. Cause you know what? You know why they won't?
Why?
The internet is for porn.
Well, okay. But I'll tell you though, and this is not even.
So
like
is BBS's. Nothing beat waiting 12 hours for a boom to show up on the screen.
back it up a little bit. There's actually been studies on this, and this is not even a joke thing. Almost all technology gets its an original hit and acceptance from pornography right. all the way back to the 1800s.
True. No, no. I mean, I'm not, you know, trust me, folks. That's why we have Rule 34. I mean, it will always do this. It's not that it won't do it. It's just very interesting that it's all kind of funny to me because it's like, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, it used to be like this. I mean, I remember it. I mean, I was on computers when you had computers in two colors. You either had a monitor that was brownish amber.
Yes.
Or amber. You had a monitor that showed you green.
Yeah. Amber screen, green screen, or you had your TV set, which is black and white.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I get it. It is kind of funny. I love it.
Yeah. And so it's like, even all the way back, you know, and then, like you said, internet is for porn, but you know, technology is for porn.
Technologies for porn, everything.
Yeah, they even like I was reading this whole thing that said like when they first had the printing press, some of the very first stuff was erotic novels.
There you go. Humans will find a way to do this, and this is the part of the podcast that is no longer family friendly. We need to be better.
So,
no, actually, that's probably a good thing. That's the reason why we keep having too many people in the world. Well, we're teaching everybody how to do it too soon, I guess. we keep perfecting it.
That's what the problem is. All right. Well, Derek, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out of your what is inevitably a hectic schedule at this point.
You have like what is it, the 30 days or 50 days? What the hell is it? 50 days?
It's 50 right? days. Yes, it's 50.
Yeah, believe it. It feels like 120, but it's really only 50.
Well, it ain't no 50 days anymore.
No, it's down to 25, actually. I think
we're at the midpoint. Stop. Oh, God.
Yeah. I was about to say it's like 30 or something. You're right.
It's 25. Like yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So.
Was it a week we have our last director's meeting?
Right before the eclipse.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind people, don't buy weird plants on the day of the eclipse.
Weird plants?
Yeah, because the world is going to, some weird stuff's going to happen to the plants. They're going to come alive and they're going to eat you. It's just science, Derek. Don't you know about this?
You know, eclipses happen all the time. It's just the nice part about this one is going to happen over us. So if the plants are going to take over, they would have done it by now.
But no, this one's different, Derek. Don't you understand?
What? No, I don't.
What are you, some sort of skeptic?
Yeah.
All right, Derek, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. And thank your volunteers for us, too, because it's without you guys, there is no Dragon Con, really.
I have like three new volunteers this year. They expanded my staffing.
You said new, right? Yeah. Not nude.
Oh yeah,
I heard nude too. So
I heard nude as well. I'm like, but then again, it could be the conversation we were just having, and it's on my mind.
How'd you get that?
It'll be in your head. Yeah, I got my staff was expanded by a few people, so I have new people this year too.
Great. Well, thank them for us. I really appreciate that. Appreciate that, and all the directors and all the volunteers that put Dragon Con together.
So, all thousands of
is it 2100? Is that what we decided it was?
Just over 2,000, I think.
Yeah, and those are just volunteers, folks. Mm-hmm. Shuffling you guys around. So be nice to them. Don't necessarily hug one, but at least say hey.
Well, at least if you're gonna hug one, do it like on the first day before the smell sits in.
Or ask. Volunteering is not consent. So until next time, this is John for Derek and Lee saying.
That's the best ever.
Peace.
Get us out of here. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.